everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited to be here for a very special interview. We have the woman who is going to be not only enjoying podcasts, but playing a podcaster on Hallmark. It's so exciting. I'm Rachel. We have Allison Sweeney here.
Hi.
Yeah, this is so fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
I'm so excited. As you obviously can tell from my movie, I love a podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you about what podcasts you like and what your inspiration was for the character. But before we go into that, I wanted to just give you a chance to introduce yourself and let us know what inspired you to become an actor.
Oh, well, I started acting when I was, I think, 4 years old. My mom thought it would be cute. I live in LA. I grew up here. Uh-huh. And she sort of had the opportunity to sort of send me out on an audition. And she thought, you know, it'd be kind of like fun or funny. What if my kid was on TV? Like, she just sort of didn't see a few. She just sort of thought it'd be a fun, like, thing to do on after school one day. Uh-huh. And I just loved it. I loved the whole experience. And I started taking it really seriously and getting into acting classes. And then I started doing theater, and I just loved all aspects of it right from, you know, the very beginning. And, you know, now I'm at this point in my career where I am, you know, producing these movies, developing the idea, starring in them. And I have to say, this is what I told my dad I would do when I was 4 years old. I knew it. Gosh. And now here we are. It's like kind of an amazing feeling.
Wow. So did you do like television work as a child, or?
I did a ton of commercials as a kid. I uh-huh. did a bunch of episodic TV on 80s shows. You probably may or may not be old enough to know. Uh-huh. I did an episode of St. Elsewhere. I did an episode of a detective show called Simon and Simon. I did uh-huh. a show called Webster. Gosh, uh-huh. I have a ton of credits back from starting in 1980.
Wow. What's that like? Do you ever watch like your old work? Is that surreal to see?
It is surreal. Yeah. I haven't seen any of that stuff in a long time, but I know this one show I was on called, it was a Twilight Zone type show. It's called Tales from the Dark Side. And I did an episode many years ago, like when I was a kid, and it now has a new life. That show airs on the Thriller Channel or something like that, or the Sci-Fi Channel maybe. And so people now see me, they're like, wow, that was you. I can't believe you look the same. You know, they recognize me from when I was a little kid. Yeah. And that's hilarious.
That is really fun. Wow. Well, so your character on Days of Our Lives, would you say she was at least semi-villainous?
Complicated.
Complicated. Okay.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was a villain on the show for many years. But, you know, I always sort of, I saw her good side.
Yeah. What was that? Because you were on that show for over 10 years, right?
No, 20 plus years.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I started when I was 16, and, you know, I didn't know I was going to play a villain, and I was a huge fan of Days of Our Lives actually before I got the job. So I was just excited to be auditioning for it, honestly. Like, it was it was so cool for me to go to the set where they film and meet some of the cast and get to be on the stage. It was like a dream come true. And then I found out I got the job. I was like freaking out. So, you know, I guess for me, I've never lost that fandom, you know, fangirling ability to really love what I do and to see it from the perspective of an audience member. And so I try to carry that forward. I tried to be true to that the whole time I worked at Days, and I still think about, you know, how will the fans react and will they get excited? Will they follow the clues? You know, I still think about it in every scene and every project I do.
Interesting. So it's got to be fun, though, to play a dishy villain on a soap. That's got to be.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. yes. It is super fun. It is the most fun. If you have the chance, I highly recommend to everyone. But it's you get slapped a lot. You slap people a lot. You get in, like, you know, cat fights, and you have great dialogue. But, you know, you have to take your comeuppance too. So you get to have fun and skulk around and do crazy things. But then you get caught and you have to have these big dramatic reveal scenes where everyone finds out what you did, which is, you know, a nice dash of humility.
Very good. So how did you end up getting involved with Hallmark? And was that something that you, were you always a fan of Hallmark, or how did that work?
So my representation, my agent, had been talking to Hallmark for a while about me doing a project with them, but because of the way Days shoots, there was never really a window of time. And then modern times came around, we started taking more hiatus weeks. There would be breaks. And like when I got married in 2000, I don't even think I got 2 weeks for my honeymoon. It was like 10 days. And it was the longest stretch I'd ever had on the show off.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So then, yeah, I mean, like, it's just not possible to do other work at that point. And so then when they started taking bigger hiatuses, that was when I really had the opportunity. And we found this one break in the schedule where I was able to take 3 weeks to go do a movie. And in fact, it ended up being co-starring Greg Vaughn, who later went on to play my twin brother, Eric.
Oh, really?
But we did this like little romantic, sweet movie.
Yeah, Second Chances.
Yeah, Second Chances before that. So in fact, he found out that he got the job as Eric while we were on set together.
No way.
And the first thing I said to him, well, I'm really glad that we did this movie first, because it would be weird, you know, the opposite. So that was my first project with Hallmark, and I just love working with them. And I brought them, you know, other ideas, other shows I wanted to develop, other projects. And so it grew from there.
So were you done with Days when you did like The Biggest Loser and some of those other shows?
No, I did Days and The Biggest Loser simultaneously. Wow. And in fact, I believe Second Chances was also like on a hiatus from both show, like I did all three at the same time, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. There were times I went through, in fact, it was about 7 years that I did both shows, and I didn't sleep a lot. I now, you know, cherish my 7 hours of sleep that I get, because I used to be the last one in at night and the first one out the door in the morning before everyone else. So I'm very lucky now.
Wow, that's amazing. So the Murder, She Baked series, my question was, how what do you think are the main differences between the Murder, She Baked series in Plain Hannah versus Alex in Chronicle Mysteries?
Well, I think the biggest difference for me as an actor was that Hannah, you know, is sort of, in the nicest possible way, a busybody. You know, mm-hmm. and so she has her job, she has a career, she's a great baker, and she just happens to have a knack, you know, not unlike Jessica Fletcher, right? To look to the greats of the industry, for figuring things out, and a little bit of a nosy Parker attitude there. And I loved that she was sort of, there was a lightheartedness. Once, you know, you're a baker solving crimes, like there's a fun in it that I really enjoyed in that character, and was a really great opportunity for me to set aside or to step away from my experience on the soap. You know, playing Sammy is nothing but like peril and danger and the like height of every emotion ever for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So to distance myself from that a little bit, take a break from it, and play a character that was like, kind of in general has a nice life and has a good job and, you know, has some like these two handsome men, that she's interested in, and sorting that out. And in the meantime, solving a few crimes was like a really fun opportunity for me to do something different as an actress. But I think as a storyteller and, you know, as an executive producer of Chronicle Mysteries, I would say, one of the best things about Murder, She Baked was that it had this audience, right? This core fan audience built in from the books.
Uh-huh.
But that is also one of the challenges of doing it, is that you're, you know, as someone who loves to read, I am always disappointed by the movies that I see from the books that I love. And it's hard, you know, those books were have been written over the stretch of several decades. And when technology changes, you have to adjust the murder to represent that, the case to represent that. And, you know, some of those fun antics in her love life in the books are not quite, you know, something that Hallmark
right.
puts on the air. And so, you know, there were pros and cons. There were amazing, wonderful aspects to it. And I loved the series. I really did. And the cast is so fantastic. But I do think that it made sense to end it when they did, the way they did. You know, there was a bit of that, like, Scarlett O'Hara, like, tomorrow's another day feeling of them taking hands. And I could just imagine them both, like, off in the sunset solving crimes together. So that made me happy.
Very cool. Yeah, I think it was a good way to go out. Plus, you know, Cameron Matheson is so busy these days.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I you couldn't get him for half a day, never mind 15 days to shoot a movie. He's right. like the face of Hallmark.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't be a nicer guy. I mean, what a fantastic guy. And he's so good at hosting that show.
And I mean, must have been amazing to work with Barbara Niven.
I love her so much. I can hardly stand it. She's funny and lovely and like yeah. such a good human. I really like her.
Yeah, I got to interview her and I really was like, well, I need to work on my life because she right. is so inspiring. Just she one conversation. Is.
And every day, like on set, I tell her all the time I want to work with her again and figure something out because she is just like lights up a set and determined to do her best and always comes prepared, like super classy lady. I love her. She still calls me daughter. It's really cool.
Yeah, she's just you feel calm after talking to her. She's just she's great. That's really cool. I'm very excited to see what is coming up with Chronicle Mysteries. Was it exciting for you to get to play a podcaster? Did you come up with this idea?
I did.
Oh wow.
I came up with the idea all sort of over the course of, you know, my new obsession with, it's not new anymore, I suppose, but my obsession with true crime, listening to like 1,000 podcasts, I sort of developed this, I was interested and honestly, like I still listen to podcasts every day and still watch Dateline and 2020 and whatever, like an addict. But I realized along the way, like, there's really something here. And the more people I talk to, and in particular women who are obsessed with.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are. Rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
This kind of this new genre as well. It's not that new, but I mean, it seems like it's had a resurgence.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I feel like more people I heard saying, yeah, me too. I love that. What podcast do you like? And you know, the fame that came or the success that came with Serial. And I just sort of, and then, you know, I just realized like there's something to this. And I realized there is that desire for that, like, armchair detective feeling of, oh, I know they're lying, or I can hear, you know, like, oh yeah, that clue, I picked up on that too. You know, sort of that feeling that you have when you listen of knowing, like learning about the investigation and learning about justice system and how it works and coming to understand it better, you know, it is exciting and interesting and compelling. And these armchair detectives who have created podcasts for, you know, Mara Murray and a thousand cases that have gone unresolved. You just find yourself like fascinated by that complexity and the interest in the, and the rabbit holes that you can fall down, you know, are compelling. And so I realized there was obviously a story here. Uh-huh. Podcasters are at the heart of it, and podcasters are, and the best part about it is it really does still honor the Hallmark model where like, you're not an investigator, you're not the cop, you're not an expert. You're somebody who's compelled to do this. Like you just can't help it. You have to find out what happened. And so you're just a person with a cell phone or a microphone and you're like, you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a perfect character for these mystery series.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really cool, to see the, I mean, obviously I'm a podcaster, so I'm very excited about it, but I'm excited to see her put together all the clues, but then also see how like her podcasting and experience with the audience and everything like that, how that kind of impacts.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've met with and talked to a bunch of podcasters who do this, since I started like pursuing it professionally. Uh-huh. What I found the most compelling also about it is that people need this voice. People need to be heard. And so people would come to all the podcasters I know begging them to cover a case about my aunt or my cousin or whoever.
Oh, that's interesting.
They are looking for someone to give them airtime and pay attention to the case and help get to the bottom of it. So there really is immediately a turnaround, and we play that in the second movie that someone seeks her out saying, and it was an interesting idea for the second case in movie two, is it's called The Wrong Man, and a man comes to Alex and asks her to do a podcast on his wife's murder. Uh-huh. And he's been accused of it, and he says he didn't do it, and he wants her to get to the truth to clear his name. And she says, well, that's not what I do. I'm gonna figure out, you know, I'm gonna try to find out who did it or get to the truth, but if that's you, like, I'm not here to cover for you, you know.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a really fun way to, not fun I guess is the wrong word, but like interesting
Clever.
Way
Clever.
To acknowledge like that is what's happening.
So is each episode or each movie, how long of a time period does it go over? Because most of these shows, don't they cover just one case over the course of a season?
In true crime cases? Well,
yeah.
It depends. I do think you're right. Like, you know, True Detective or some shows like that.
Serial.
Kind of take one case through the whole season. But what we decided to do was each movie would be a whole case. And so time passes as she's uncovering clues. So you see that she's dropping new episodes or, you know, as the case progresses.
Okay.
She's uploading episodes, or she decides she can't, you know, she has new information, but like now the police have to get involved. So maybe like she can't publish that interview until she, you know, finds out what the legal terms are, or whatever, you know, like, so that we play the complexity of these things she's struggling with as a new podcaster, as someone who's trying to be a journalist, trying to be fair, but also, you know, she's keeping her newspaper afloat with the success of this podcast. So she also feels the weight of that as well.
So each movie will have multiple episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, depending on the, yes, I think that's the plan, is that each movie is one case. And you follow her over the course of, you know, depending on how long the case takes, several days, weeks, you know, and she would be releasing new episodes as it goes. And the podcast allows us to really keep the audience up to speed with what she's thinking about and what she's uncovered. So, you know, as we get into the second hour of the movie, you know, she updates her podcasting, her listeners, with the latest in the case or where she is right now or what the clues are, where the clues are taking her, in a way that allows the audience to be, the viewers at home to be right up to speed with what Alex is thinking.
I'm really excited for that. So you were really involved in producing and creating this. Were you involved in the writing as well? Or how did that work?
as a producer, you're involved with the writing. You know, I keep them. The writer, her name is Melissa Sammons, and we met at Days of Our Lives, where she was writer, and so I stole her away to write movies for me at Hallmark, and she's fantastic, and she's really collaborative. So we work together, and she knows, you know, really ultimately, like, nobody knows more about, listens to more of these true crime cases than I do. So we talk about it at length, and I just offer her ideas and clues, and, oh, in this case, I heard, you know, they found the footprint this way, or they, you know, whatever, in the snow. And like, I don't know, there's 1,000 examples, but like, so we work really collaboratively on the cases as they go.
Okay.
But she's the writer.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited because they must have a lot of confidence in it to greenlit 3 at once. Like, that's pretty uncommon for
crazy. I have to be honest with you. I was in that meeting and we had pitched them one movie and they were like, well, we'd like 3. And I was thinking like, what? Because I really thought she was about to say something bad. Like, oh, you know,
yeah,
really great. We really like your idea. And I sort of thought the end of that sentence was going to be like, but, you know, blah, blah, blah. And no, she was like, but we were hoping you could do 3 more. And I'm like, what?
That's great. So it's got a great cast too. You've got Benjamin Ayers working with him. That must be fun.
Yes, he's fantastic. He's such a good actor, such a lovely guy. And I also feel I have poisoned his mind and gotten him hooked on podcast as well.
Well, I interviewed Peter Benson, who's in the second one.
Oh.
And he said the same thing, that you got him hooked on podcasts.
I'm just going through life, like, torturing people and then we would like meet up for lunch every day in the trailers. And then it was like homework. We all had to watch the episode and then talk about it the next day. But Peter is fantastic. He's the one who plays the husband who comes forward.
Okay.
About his wife. And he's a great actor. And in fact, he and Ben are like really good friends in real life.
Well, it was so funny interviewing him because he was like, oh, so-and-so, that's my really good friend. And so that's my really good friend. I'm like, he has to be the nicest guy.
Yeah, he is a really nice guy and a good actor.
Yeah, it was great interviewing him. I really enjoyed him. Yeah, and you have Rebecca Staub, who we love.
She's so talented. She's lovely, good actress, and she really adds such a great heart and depth to the character of Eileen, who is our resident gossip columnist for the Harrington Chronicle. But she adds like gravitas to the job, and she's just great. I love her.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna risk saying her name wrong, but Lisa Drew, I think is how you say it.
That's right. Lisa Drew. She played Andrea on Murder, She Baked.
Yeah.
And she's just an amazing actress. And this role was a tough one that in the first movie, I can't give away too much, but she plays a great role in it and she's very good.
Great. Well, we're really, really excited about the new series. We can't wait. So we like to end our interviews with some fun. We call them the Team Beat questions. And they're just some silly questions that Amber.
That's a throwback. I love it.
On Team Beat. So, all right. First question is, what is the best ice cream flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Yeah, it's really good. All right. What is your favorite color?
Pink.
Okay. What music are you listening to right now? What's your favorite music?
My new music is called Podcasts. I feel like I haven't listened to music in a long time, but that's not really true. I love now I'm only forced to listen to the music my kids like, which I thought would never happen to me, but luckily I convinced them to like Queen. A lot of and Bohemian Rhapsody, like, luckily proved me right because that movie was so good. Queen.
You can't go wrong with Queen.
Can't go wrong.
So what is your go-to date night food?
Postmates. I love, my husband and I are very good at the stay home parenting in staycation date.
I don't blame you for that, especially working these crazy hours that you do. So I guess that kind of explains. The next question was go-to date night activity. So you like to stay at home date.
Yeah, we're a stay-at-home date kind of a couple, but then we also love like weekend adventures. So we take our kids with us and we'll go away. Like, you know, I mean, it's, we're lucky we live in LA and there's tons of really awesome places to visit in and around LA. So we go to Santa Barbara or San Diego or, you know, Palm Desert or Arizona. Like, so we travel a lot with our kids on the weekends and make an adventure, a family adventure out of it.
Nice. Sometimes those little trips are, I think, are the most refreshing because big, long trips are exhausting.
It can be. Yeah. And then you like need a vacation after you get home.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
A little trip is a perfect,
A perfect. Yeah. So dogs or cats?
We have dogs. Okay. Actually, I would have to say like asterisks there and I would a horse person.
Okay.
but I'll give you dog.
Okay. Beaches or mountains?
Oh, that's a tough one. In the winter, we're mountains all the way. We love skiing.
Okay, great. Well, I'm from Utah, so that's right up.
We were just in Deer Valley. It was
amazing. You were? Cool. All right. Would you rather be in a fancy dress or sweats?
Oh, sweats. I'm in sweats right now as we speak. I love the athletic culture shift where now in LA you can basically wear, you know, stretch pants anywhere.
It's the whole Fabletics thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Okay. Very good. And what is your favorite Hallmark movie? And you can pick one of your own.
It's like asking me to choose between my children. I think my favorite Hallmark movie would be The Irresistible Blueberry Farm. I really loved
That was really good.
Shooting it. I really loved working with Mark Lucas. I loved like literally everything about that movie.
Well, and that movie has arguably the best kiss in Hallmark.
What a compliment. Oh my God.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, and it's so nice when you get it like right pretty early on. You don't have to wait until the last 30 seconds of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. I had to fight for that, by the way. Yeah. Feel free to, ever interview the Hallmark execs, you tell them.
Well, Alex, thank you. Keep fighting.
Talking about.
We need more kisses in these movies.
I know.
So, great. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I really had a great time. And then we are so excited about the new series. And it would be the next 3 Sundays, correct?
Yep.
That's we'll be seeing Chronicle Mysteries.
17th, the 24th, and March 3rd. So please let me know what you think on social media, on my Instagram or on Twitter. I love it and I can't wait.
Yeah. So what's that social media? So we can share.
I'm at Allie Sweeney on Instagram and I'm at Allie_Sweeney on Twitter.
Great. Well, we'd love to have you on the show again, maybe once they've aired or another time. We'd love to talk with you again. And I just
only if you like them, then okay. We'll talk about it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks again. And we'll talk to you again hopefully later.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much to Allison for coming on the podcast. We had a great time talking with her and we'll really look forward to the upcoming mysteries and all that she's doing for Hallmark. And so let us know what you thought in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to hear what you're looking forward to and what you thought of Murder, She Baked or any of the other things we talked about. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and on YouTube. And you make sure you're following the podcast, all of our social media at Hallmarkies Pod. And if you can give us a rating and review on iTunes, we really appreciate it. And if you're watching or listening on YouTube, if you can give us a thumbs up, we really appreciate that too. So thanks so much, Allison, and we'll talk to you all later. Bye.